Can't be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, and we're always worldwide on the Odyssey app. Here's the thing I'm aware of. We're going to be gone for the next couple days, and then it's the weekend. And so whatever we do today lives as the most recent podcast for 5 days.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of pressure to be interesting.
There is.
And to be entertaining. And so I'm brainstorming. You know, good topics. Obviously, the Nats are a big topic right now. We've got, you know, the Stanley Cup lifted. I probably need to, like, say something like the Thunder will win the NBA Finals so somebody can laugh at me if they don't in a few days when they listen to this over the weekend when they get back to their MP listening. And so I've got all these great topics, but then I can't not go off the rails.
Let's go.
I'm incapable of doing it.
Well, we made it to 10:32. That's
big
new record.
Big win for us. Was chatting with Laura in our sales department. And here in the Odyssey sales department, we like the sales department. Because of them, we get paid. It's a transactional relationship, but it works out really well for all of us.
I'm not saying it's my favorite part of the job, but it's up there.
I probably am saying it's my favorite part of the job. I think if you took that part out of the job, we'd be making a lot less radio around here.
You don't call it a job. You call it indentured servitude after that, right?
Thank you, Laura. For making us not indentured servants. We were talking about the election, as we are, you know, in election season, blah, blah, blah. And she said, we were talking about my great-grandpa worked at a radio station with Ronald Reagan.
What?
That's a 100% true story.
Okay.
In Des Moines, Iowa. They worked together. Young Ronald Reagan. Like,
yeah.
Pre-actor, pre-everything.
Okay.
But they knew each other.
Cool.
Right. And she said, I almost didn't vote for Reagan because of the curse, and I didn't want him to die. And that's the face I made, too.
I don't even know how to begin processing this.
Which tells me that you, like me, are unaware of this thing. So,
wait, before we even start, is Reagan cursed or is Laura cursed?
No. The presidency is cursed on a 20-year cycle.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm learning today.
So I said, and this is a bit of spiking the ball in the end zone, I said I didn't vote for Ronald Reagan because I wasn't alive at the time. So I feel like I have a pretty good excuse here in terms of not knowing that he was cursed. I then mentioned it to somebody else later in the day who is older. And I said, did you know about the thing where Ronald Reagan was cursed to die because he won the presidency in 1980? And she goes, oh, yeah, that was a big thing. Not Laura, somebody else.
This is known.
People who were alive and of voting age in 1980 were very aware that they were sentencing somebody to death. So
then why did we let that fade from the lexicon? Because in 2000, we should have brought that back. 2020.
Let's go to Wikipedia.
Okay.
It's the curse of Tippecanoe, also known as Tecumseh's curse, the 20-year curse, or the zero curse.
Is that an Andrew Jackson reference?
William Henry Harrison.
Ah, yes, okay.
Was old Tippecanoe, and Tyler too, of course, as the campaign saying went.
Very nice.
It's an urban legend about the deaths in office of presidents of the United States who were elected in years divisible by 20. Here is what I did not know. This is not a thing that got made up out of thin air. We had a 7-president run of this happening going into Reagan. Okay?
Okay.
In 1840,
okay.
William Henry Harrison is elected. And that was instant. He didn't.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I know about him. Super dead.
Well, he didn't have time to be president. He was too busy dying.
He had a cold.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
1860,
okay.
Abraham Lincoln wins office.
Oh.
I don't have to tell you what happened there. Wasn't pretty. So we fast forward to 1880.
Okay.
We don't have a trend yet, but we're working on one.
It's concerning. It's one of those 2 nickels situations.
You got 3 nickels now because it's James Garfield.
No!
1900, William McKinley, the president who we all forget got assassinated because nobody knows why.
Right.
Yeah. But he did.
Wow. Wow.
1920, Warren G. Harding. Now, 1940, Franklin D. Roosevelt is elected president. Mm-hmm. He did die in office during his term. He served a lot. You know, there were a lot of circumstances there. But the point holds.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1960, We're recent now. This is number 7.
This is concerning. That surely some people are starting to put some pieces together.
And it's JFK.
Is there a curse going on?
JFK was elected president in 1960. So for 7 consecutive presidents on the 20s, the one who got voted in died in office.
And it's like a gruesome death, every single one of them, pretty much.
I mean, Harrison caught a cold or whatever, but like...
I don't want to die of a cold. I'll tell you what.
I think most deaths are not great if you're the president, because you got pretty good medical care, so something had to have happened. So in 1980, voters in America, and this has been expunged from the history books. You went to school...
Because the concern was so high, apparently.
I guess. I don't know. I was an honor student. I get the feeling you paid attention in class, took notes...
Didn't hear about this.
We would have remembered this.
I would have remembered. The curse? I love a curse.
Tippecanoe?
Oh.
The curse of Tippecanoe? Yes. In 1980, we were sentencing a president to death by electing him to office. Laura overcame those fears, rode with Ronald Reagan, who was shot.
I was going to say, it's not like they didn't try.
They
tried to complete the curse.
No question. But Reagan survived, broke the curse. 2000, W got elected, also did not die.
Well, thank you, Reagan.
2020, of course, Joe Biden, who very famously is not dead.
Depends on which stations you're listening to. Oh, my goodness.
Take it downstairs.
Oh.
Yeah, the two presidents preceded the curse, James Monroe and Thomas Jefferson. They have their own thing because they both died on the 4th of July, but that's unrelated to the Tippecanoe situation. Yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea.
So then after 1980, Ronald Reagan is like, wow, I almost lost half my voters because they were so scared they were going to kill me.
But if we had a thing like that...
Yeah.
Like, as a society, like... I feel like we'd keep talking about it. Somehow, when Reagan... Was it Hinckley? When Hinckley shot Reagan and he lived, I guess everybody just got together and was like, we're not talking about this anymore.
Okay, everybody, never mind.
Because nobody talks about this.
That's a crazy Mandela effect.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's on Wikipedia, so it's real. And Reagan broke the curse. Thank you, Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
And it was a 7 president. That's not...
7 is so many.
So many presidents. We have so few presidents.
Yeah.
That statistically 7
is like
a lot of... We also have very few presidents who died in office, period.
So of the presidents who died in office, it's like easily over 50%.
For them to die on that reliable cycle, the curse of Tippecanoe.
Wow.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Isn't that better than talking about the Nats losing to the Rockies?
Yeah, let's talk about Reagan again.
It's Wednesday. We're in the summer, so we don't do play Chesterfield, but they announced the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame. I've got the list. I'll tell you who's in class number 2 of the Chesterfield Sports Hall of Fame, because contrary to popular belief, this is a sports talk show, and we will do that. Stick around. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.
Happy the mic,
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Our friend Megan is in Tokyo right now, in Japan.
And she's having a blast. She's posting some awesome pictures.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's an Instagram culture, so she's kind of right at home there with... And she loves the Pokemon and all that, the culture. So
this is true.
She was telling... I haven't figured out yet if she was trying to get a reservation to the Pokemon Cafe.
Oh.
But apparently it's really hard. Like, it's like you gotta like dial at midnight, you know, all the... She was staying up late into the night to call Japan to try to get a reservation to the Pokemon Cafe. I hope she made it to the Pokemon Cafe. That's where you hang out with the Pokemon, obviously.
What makes it Pokemon?
Well, you can pet Pikachu. Yeah, that's, you know, like a cat cafe, but a Pokemon cafe.
Okay,
I'm making this up.
Listen, I haven't been to Japan. I believe you. Like, there's that one that looks like a plant. There's that one that looks like a turtle.
Snorlax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sleepy one.
All right, let's see how many I can name. Snorlax, Pikachu.
Uh-huh.
I bet if you gave me an hour, I could get a third one. But it's Bulbasaur. Is there a Bulbasaur?
I believe so.
Charmander. Am I rolling
now? Look at you. You are rolling.
Is it Charmander
now,
or Charizard?
I think that those are the same Pokemon, but you know, there's evolutions.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, there's evolutions of the Pokemon, MB.
I was alive during that time when everybody had the Game Boy game where you found Pokemon in the wild and people were like complaining about trespassing.
Are you talking about Pokemon Go?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Is that still a thing?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen anybody walking in the road catching Pokemon recently, so not as big of a thing, sure.
Not as big of a thing. But it was a big thing. I missed Pokemon in the window.
Okay.
And now kind of coming back, it's not, like, my kids aren't into it. It's not really a mass culture thing at the moment. It'll come back, though.
It'll come back.
Because it's cyclical, right? I missed it, so that means the revival's coming in about 5 to 10 years. For the kids of the people who got into it.
Yes.
When Megan has kids.
Oh, yeah.
That will be the Pokemon revival time. So I'm a little outside the window.
And that's okay. We accept you anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All welcome here. The Switch 2, the new Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
We've got that. I haven't seen any ads around, like, any Pokemon games or anything.
What do they have on there? What do you play? Stardew Valley?
They do. I mean,
Animal Crossing.
You can play all the Switch 1 games, so you're preloaded with
everything.
The two big ones are Mario Kart. They do a new Mario Kart. It's like the old Mario Kart, but slightly better.
Oh, okay.
And Donkey Kong, big Donkey Kong game. Where
see,
you like
everything old is new again.
Pound things. That's way OG.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll do a Zelda at some point.
A Zelda movie coming out.
There will be a Zelda game coming out.
Yeah, Zelda's making a comeback.
I'll stand up for Zelda Never Left. It's always just been a niche thing.
Oh.
I think it's always been an underground thing.
I'll accept that take.
It's a little like Dungeons & Dragons. It's never burned hot, but it's been a slow burn.
You don't think Dungeons & Dragons burned hot during COVID?
That's probably the hottest it's ever burned. No question.
It felt like it was on fire there for a second. They had a movie? Everybody's getting movies.
I would agree with that. Yeah, that is, if you're doing the chart, that's the peak for sure.
That's the peak. That's a spike.
I have repressed the memories of COVID, so I don't.
Good for you, MP.
I don't acknowledge it. I refuse to. It's like the president's dying in 20s. He's stopped acknowledging after a while.
Apparently, the entire country stopped acknowledging that.
We don't speak of it. Politics, LeVar Stoney has conceded, so we're done here in the race last night. I'll pass that along. We'll put that on the Richmonder, richmonder.org. That's the place where that stuff lives. But LeVar Stoney has conceded. Ghazala Hashmi is lieutenant governor nominee. She will go against John Reed, formerly of downstairs here at the building. So it's an all Richmond throwdown.
Formerly of downstairs?
Formerly of downstairs.
Yeah, no notes. Perfect.
That's what I know him from.
Yeah.
And when we went to, were you still producing when we did the TGI Fridays show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up at the TGI Fridays show.
Fantastic.
Which I thought, team player. Odyssey team player. That's not a political endorsement. That's just saying, we did a show live at TGI Fridays. He came by to wish us well.
You needed the support and he was there.
I needed the support. At the time, he was planning his trip to the Paris Olympics with his boyfriend.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriend, husband, they're married, I think.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I only remember him calling into Howard Gutman show as I see it that weekend.
Oh.
Giving us a little Paris Olympics recap.
Live from Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a world traveler.
Very much so. He has
been everywhere ever. Like, I'm a country traveler. I've been to 49 states.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the one?
Alaska.
Oh, okay. Yeah, reasonable.
Yeah, well, it's expensive and hard to get to.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of cold up there. That said, I would like to go. I'm just going to preempt everybody right now. When I drop that, because, like, you know, when you do icebreakers and stuff, that's always my fun fact. I've been to 49 states.
Mm-hmm.
Which one haven't you been to? I haven't been to Alaska. Everybody always says the same thing. Oh, you should go on an Alaskan cruise.
You know, I was not going to say that.
So I'd like to nip that in the bud right now.
Don't go on an Alaskan cruise. But I hear they have zip lines up there.
That's right. I don't want to go on an Alaskan cruise. I do not want to be a part of that. I want to go, like, into the wilderness.
Oh yeah.
Did you see the movie where the bear ate the guy?
Yes.
Like, I want not that.
Are you talking Cocaine Bear or the one?
No, no, not Cocaine Bear. The one was like real footage.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Like that, but dial it back a couple notches.
Okay.
A little bit, not all the way, but a little bit.
We'll get you a cabin. You don't have to set up a tent.
I'll pitch a tent, but not near the bears. That's a hard out for me.
I don't know if you're the one who makes that decision. about where the Bears are.
I will be making the decision to not be near the Bears. So the Bears can make the decision on where they are.
Okay.
I'll be making the decision to not be there. That's what I'm empowered to do.
Well, that seems reasonable.
So I'll be at a courtyard by Marriott in Anchorage is where this will end up probably. My guy on Twitter, Deferred Walk-On, he's a big Virginia Tech fan, at the end of the year puts out the Hokies Athletics report card.
Ooh.
Grades every Virginia Tech athletic program. And I like this because as much as I like to think I'm a sports guy and I'm in the know, it is hard to keep track of everything and everybody. So I usually learn something for this. I learned the Virginia Tech women's soccer team made the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament last year.
Woo!
Shout out to them.
Okay.
I think that's during football season, which would explain why we missed it.
Right.
Still, super cool.
Super cool. Elite
super
eight?
Cool. I also learned for the first time that I did not know that the Virginia Tech volleyball team, literally every member of the team entered the transfer portal after the season and left. For the second consecutive year.
No! Wait, did they replace the coach? What's going on?
There's a lot going on there. Okay. Virginia Tech volleyball, apparently. So one good, one bad for you from the Virginia Tech year
so
that
was.
So
they all came in for 1 year and they all left again.
That's correct.
Wow, okay. Just clarifying.
No, you're clarifying.
Woo!
You're on board. But also, it wasn't like, I feel like you could have those situations. Like if Phil Martelli gets offered the Duke job after this season and everybody leaves with him to the Duke job, like I'll be a little salty because we go through this all the time, but like you're not gonna begrudge the guy.
Sure.
That was not this.
No.
They were 1-19 this year. Yeah.
This is a squirrels record.
In ACC play. It's
sorry,
not
squirrels.
It used to be a Rockies record, but then they played the Nats. We'll get back to that. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies earlier at 9 o'clock. If you missed that, that was a great interview with them. He stood up for his guy, Davey Martinez, which I think is the only thing you can do. It's the only correct option in this scenario is to stand by your guy. He said, you know, wishes he had phrased it differently on the it's not the coaches, it's the players. And I wished he had phrased it differently too. I wished he had said it's not the players or the coaches, it's the owner, because the owner's a bum. But I'm just one guy doing talk radio in Richmond, Virginia. I'm not going to change the world in that way. Virginia Tech report card, though, is where we're at. Deferred Walk-On on Twitter. So women's soccer, A+. Also track and field, A+. They become a little bit of a perennial power in track and field. ACC champs in wrestling and NCAA regional in softball.
Nice.
So pretty good year.
Yeah, they're racking them up.
For the Hokies overall. It's at UVA. Those are the kinds of analysis we can do and do. Like, they don't do that at Virginia Tech because it's a football school. It's all about the... Like, even if men's basketball is having a year, it's still all... It's ride or die with the football. And the football wasn't good enough last year. And everybody knows that, and Brent Pry knows that. Mayo Bowl last year in football. They beat UVA, got to the bowl, did what they had to do. But expectations are going to be a little higher this year, as they should be a little higher this year. As they start with a big game in non-conference, not the South Carolina, but a big home game for the home opener, bringing Vandy in, and that's a fair fight right now. Vandy's towards the bottom of the SEC, but I think if you drop that team into the ACC, they could be a 9-3 team. I don't think that's a reach. This would be a quality football team coming into Blacksburg. You remember what happened last year. Game went to overtime. I think some things got mismanaged along the way. I think they started slower than they needed to. They got all offseason to fix that. Brent Pry knows they got all offseason to fix that. They've got a lot to work on, and they've got high expectations, but they've got some big opportunities as well. None bigger than that one. Vandy, assuming they lose to South Carolina in the opener, which I'm not being mean to the Hokies. I just think they're going to get waxed by South Carolina in the opener. I think of the ACC schools, what are we up to? 15, 16 of them? It depends if you count Notre Dame or not. If there's 15 ACC schools, 13 of them would get mopped by South Carolina. Clemson will play South Carolina. We'll find that out. They'll hang. And then we'll figure out who's the other team. Is it Miami? Are they going to have a Miami's back thing again before they're not? Louisville is building very nicely and sustainably over there. We'll see. Will it be Belichick? I don't think it'll be Belichick. But it's at least a thing we'll say every now and then so you can perk up because Belichick's the SEO word right now. So could be Bill Belichick. I don't think it will be. But somebody's going to emerge. There will be a second good team coming out of the ACC by the time the year's over.
Coach Jordan.
Coach Jordan running the socials out there at UNC. We got Griffin in the house this morning running our socials. Check it out. 910 The Fan. Some clips from AWOD's interview yesterday with Chris Mooney, basketball coach at the University of Richmond. Great interview, great insights. Two-parter. Make sure to check that out everywhere you consume 910 The Fan. We'll step aside. We'll keep this show rolling on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Maybe on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the Free Odyssey app. That was the most human I've ever heard. Ted Leonsis was, it was a couple of years ago. I think he was on Grant and Danny. I think it was on our station. And Grant was like, "You going to buy the baseball team?" And Leonsis was like, I'm trying to buy the baseball team. You can't deal with the learners. You can't deal with the learners. That they don't have a naming rights partner for the stadium is a baseball stadium in the middle of an urban city. People should be lining up to put their corporate logo on the baseball stadium. They don't have a naming partner for it. They don't have the jersey patch. And again, I'm not saying go be NASCAR drivers, but you got 30 teams that are wearing the jersey patch and making money, and you got the Nationals over here can't negotiate a jersey patch deal. It's indicative of a bigger situation. Number one pick in this year's draft, so we'll get excited about that. Will they build around the team? What was the Ken Rosenthal report a couple weeks ago? They understand they need to. That's tepid. It's tepid at best right there. They understand they need to spend more to be competitive. All right. I understand I need to pay more to have a steak dinner at Morton's. That doesn't mean it's happening tonight. They understand. Great. Well, do it then. Or sell the team. There is a qualified sports team owner in your city who wants to buy the Washington Nationals. And Leonsis is not a top five owner in the world. I get that. If you talk to the Wizards fans, they don't like him. I get that. But you cannot deny he runs a professional operation. The teams are operated professionally. They spend to the cap each year in their sports. They don't. This isn't a Steve Cohen situation. He's not going to buy the Nats and fling $1 billion into crazy deals. But they'll be run responsibly. That's all we're asking for. That's the bar. Nats lose again to the Rockies. They've now lost twice to the Rockies, costing us two things, really. This is costing us valuable time watching good baseball over the summer, which I enjoy doing. But number two, this is also costing us the Colorado Rockies making a run at the White Sox for baseball futility, which is, I had a lot of fun with that last year, watching the White Sox become the worst team in the history of baseball. I was thinking maybe we could run it back, but I guess the Nats say no. 10-6 last night. Your final. On the positive side, no squirrel sounder coming. The Squirrels did not lose last night. They didn't play. It rained in Altoona, which Trey foreshadowed. But as you know, Trey's a pro. He's never going to call a rain out at 11 in the morning. Woke up, did the segment, didn't blow me off, didn't say, I got to sleep in, it's a rain out tonight. Did his prep, was ready, rain out. We're back, doubleheader tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. So Grant and Danny will end a little early on the Fan tomorrow night. They'll doubleheader out there in Altoona, the Altoona Curve. As Trey noted, homecoming of sorts for him. He's still known around those parts.
Mm-hmm.
Trey sauntering in, a little giddy up in his step this week.
Already got his mustard from the store. He's ready to go.
He's ready. He knows the Altoona mustard aisle well.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have to ask for directions.
Well-versed in the Altoona mustard aisle.
Well-versed. We'll have NBA as well tomorrow. Hockey last night, we're done here. Florida Panthers are the winners. It is the sixth consecutive year a team from Florida was in the Stanley Cup Finals. Fourth time the Stanley Cup is in Florida. All right, here's what I wanted to get to this morning. NIL, paying the players, revenue sharing. We've covered all those topics ad nauseum. I am intrigued. We're seeing two states now are doing creative things to finance NIL, and I'm intrigued by this. Start in Louisiana, where Louisiana is raising taxes on sports betting $0.50 a bet. Every time you place a bet, you'll have to pay a 50-cent tax to the state of Louisiana, which will create $24 million to divide across the state's schools to pay for NIL and revenue sharing with the athletes.
Okay.
I'm kind of intrigued by this because the sports betting has been one of the great scourges on the modern athlete. I love the idea of monetizing it for them.
Yeah.
That intrigues me.
They should benefit a little bit off of that.
Because you got these people who they bet on the games and then they yell at the kids on Twitter or on social media. And that's wrong.
They Venmo request them.
Yeah. If you're doing that, stop doing that. You're a bad person. Don't do that. It is okay to be mad if you lose a bet. It is not okay to take it out on the kid. I think everybody's been pretty unanimous in that regard. And yet, it keeps happening. The message has not gotten to everybody in America. If you're betting so much that you need to Venmo request a college kid if you lose your bet, you're betting too much. Full stop. So I like this. 50 cents a bet. Give the money back to the kids. Help fund the NIL.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I kind of like that. West Virginia, they will be adding a $12 fee to every student at West Virginia University this year.
I am much less excited
about this idea. This is very, very different, isn't it? Oh, yes.
That is very, very different.
In part to address the rising costs of fielding their intercollegiate athletics teams.
Wow.
That's not good.
And I believe West Virginia is the school that had the press conference with the national con convention. They called the NCAA something silly.
They did.
They didn't make it in, right?
They did when they didn't make it in. Every student enrolling in Morgantown next year will pay an additional $12 on top of their tuition, money that will go to the athletic department to handle the rising costs produced by revenue sharing.
To produce new signs that say NCAA.
Well, yeah, I hope they don't get rid of the signs. Those are, I mean, honestly, just put them by the side. Put them on the water tower, really.
Yes.
Home of the National Con Athletic Association or whatever they called it. It was good. It goes without saying. That one's bad. It's revenue sharing. The intent is the revenue is the TV money and the ticket money, not the student's tuition money.
Yeah,
that's not what we should be revenue sharing here. That's a bad idea. Ooh, for everybody involved.
The biology majors are not happy over there.
I don't think the biology majors are going to be very happy about that. Like, even if you go to VCU and you pay tuition and you love the basketball team, which a lot of people over there do, and I love that a lot of people over there love the basketball team, you still shouldn't be directly paying their salaries through your tuition.
No, they can get their salary through my tickets.
Yeah. Or jersey sales or... Mm-hmm. Popcorn sales or
$12 is enough for Chipotle.
Bake sales.
That's lunch.
Can you still get a Chipotle for $12?
No drink, but yes.
Yeah, I don't need a drink. I'm good.
There you go.
It's a lot of food.
The water's outside. Go find water.
You still get a water cup for free.
Yeah.
For now.
We do live in Richmond. You watch yourself.
Well, you can get the water cup. Will it fill with water? Nobody knows.
That is not their problem.
That's a game of water roulette is what we play right there. We gotta step aside. We'll be back here in a few. Half hour left to go. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. Phil Martelli Jr. Is that today? We are in that today? Yep. Phil Martelli Jr. is the VCU basketball coach. We are excited about this season. We'll get to know the team a little bit better. Get to know the roster a little bit better. I'm fired up for this because we, like with Mooney yesterday, I got a lot of questions I need the answers to. I know that Phil Martelli has crushed the transfer portal, but I'm excited to hear the specifics. AWOD, of course, is always right on top of VCU basketball. He'll be chatting with Coach Martelli. We'll be chatting with him. We'll do the crosstalk thing at 12:15. People seem to like it, so we keep doing it. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.
Happy on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That's where you'll hear all sorts of fun from around the sporting world, including our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, up in Washington, D.C., where they air Washington Nationals baseball every night. You can hear a lot of them on 96.1 FM as well here. I was on Grant and Danny's radio program yesterday, which also airs here, 3 to 6 p.m. I was on the Beltway Blitz in the 4 o'clock hour. Great segment those gentlemen do. We were talking Commanders.
And we'll talk Commanders here in a bit, of course, as we get ready for the Commanders 2025 season. A lot of hype around Jaden Daniels, around this team, around the momentum they've established. But I told Grant, I want to talk about the Nats. What are you going to do to fix the Nats? Because the Washington Nationals are struggling. Headline from the Washington Post, Chelsea Janes, of course, their national baseball writer. She's covered the team before. She's very good at what she does. The Nationals can no longer pretend that everything is okay. Dave Martinez's pointed comments this weekend created a firestorm. That was where he said it's not the coaches, it's the players. But they also made painfully clear the team's longstanding problems remain difficult to fix. Here's the thing, and I'll dip back into Redskins land for a second here, because we had, you remember the really, really terrible year where Jay Gruden got fired and Bill Callahan became the interim coach. Do you remember when they installed Bill Callahan as the interim coach? It was right before the game against the Miami Dolphins, who were tanking at the time. That was the year they tanked for Tua, and that's the year they ended up with the lawsuit and Brian Flores and ownership and all that. So it was that year. And the bottom line was they were going to win that game. So you put in the interim coach, give him a little bump. I don't know if you remember what happened in that game. They barely won that game. It was a two-point conversion by Ryan Fitzpatrick that failed for the Dolphins to ensure their tank. That ultimately left the Commanders on the winning side of that. The Skins at the time on the winning side of that. But that's baseball too. You do the players only meeting. You rally the troops. You do it right before you play the Marlins. You do it right before you play the Rockies, because those are games you're going to win. And you'd rather when you do it, you want to pretend it worked. Even if it's placebo, you want to pretend it worked, because momentum can create momentum. So, which brings us to this week's Washington Nationals series. They're bad right now, but they're not the worst. There's two teams that are the worst, the Miami Marlins and the Colorado Rockies. The Marlins came to town for three games over the weekend, and they swept the Nats. So, but that's all right, because on Monday, here come the Colorado Rockies, the literal worst team in baseball. They are chasing the White Sox for futility. They're off the pace now because they've now won two of their first four in this series. The first two they've played in D.C., game three tonight of four. It's a series split at best against the worst team in baseball. By the way, this is, and you know, this is part of what we're addressing here, and part of what I get mad about with the ownership. Teams with the most losses in the past decade. It's the Rockies and it's the Nats. This is the ultimate historic season futility team here. Since 2020, in this decade, the Rockies and the Nats have the most losses in baseball. And the Rockies handed to you 10-6, put up that big seventh inning, get the job done. This is bigger than the manager, and I'm not saying Davey Martinez should stay. Don't hear me saying that, because Davey Martinez is clearly frustrated, exasperated, out of options. And that's an untenable situation. So he's going to have to go at some point, not because he's the problem, but because he's not the solution. Mike Rizzo. Mike Rizzo gets a lot of love, and I think deservedly so. I think he's made some good moves, the Juan Soto trade being chief among them, that have turned out very well for this team. He's going to get to pick number one in the draft this year, breathe a little energy into the franchise. I don't know if he'll go or stay. I go back to, and I say this all the time, can you do better, right? It's not, is he the best GM in baseball? He's not. It's not, is he a top 10 GM in baseball? He's not. But could you do better? If you fired Mike Rizzo today, could you do better? With Davey Martinez, the answer is now yes, because he's doing press conferences blaming the players and saying the coaches are fine. He's clearly exasperated. He's clearly checked out. You can do better than Davey Martinez right now. So you need to make that replacement. You need to move on from Davey Martinez.
Do you need to move on from Mike Rizzo? I don't know that we've seen that. He's not the solution, but he's not the problem. The problem is ownership, and the problem lingers. We had that ray of hope where it looked like Ted Leonsis was going to buy the team. And say what you will about Ted Leonsis, who's not a top 10 owner, but not a bottom 10 owner. I think he would care and run this team at a more professional level than the Lerners do right now. So I'm hopeful that happens at some point. And obviously, I'm hopeful they affiliate their AAA team here because it's a Major League Baseball franchise. There's 32 of them. They all matter. They all count. And when you've got one in your geographic range, is a big stinking deal. And it's really cool. And to see it run into the ground like this because some rich guy wants to make a few bucks along the way is depressing and is not fun to watch. And there's apathy. And that's the word Chelsea Janes used. There's apathy in ownership. And that apathy has trickled down through the whole organization. The Lerner family is, their ways of doing business are not modern ways of doing business. Revenue streams aren't everything, but there's something in baseball. They haven't sold naming rights to the stadium, which has been open for a really long time now, almost 20 years. They haven't sold a jersey patch on the uniform to a sponsor. Every team's doing that right now. There's revenue opportunities, but the way they do business is holding them back from realizing that. You remember, they're jerking around managers, offering cheap contracts. You remember the story a long time ago. They couldn't FedEx things. They had to just put a stamp on them and mail them, right? That was their directive, reportedly, to the staff. That's the kind of ownership we're talking about here. And, you know, Davey Martinez is not in the right here with his comments, but you lose two to the Colorado Rockies, the sky has fallen. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if you pick up the pieces in the next two and they're good enough to do it, and they might. It's baseball. It doesn't matter. Changes need to happen, but I don't have any optimism in those changes because of the ownership. And we've been here before. This is the Dan Snyder story. Obviously, the Lerners are not in the same camp in terms of gravity of allegations against them. Dan Snyder, of course, accused of sexual misconduct. The Lerners just accused of being cheap and not caring about the baseball team they own, which is a civic asset. That's its own thing. It's a different thing than Dan Snyder's thing. So don't think I'm getting the two confused, because I'm not. But it's important. It's important we have good baseball to talk about. It's important that we have a team to be proud of. And I'm hopeful that someday they'll come affiliate down here. And that'll be a ton of fun as well, because I like baseball. And this is interesting. I prefer good baseball to bad baseball, which is, we're getting bad baseball right now, not just on the Washington Nationals front, but of course the Flying Squirrels front as well. Squirrels postponed due to rain last night in Altoona. They will double dip tomorrow night. So tonight, 6:00, first pitch on the Fan. Tomorrow night, doubleheader starts at 5 in Altoona. We'll bring it to you, of course. We had Trey Wilson on yesterday. If you missed Trey, grab the podcast. Good chance to tease that. Good chance to let you know AWOD Radio's coming up at noon. Grant and Danny drive you home. Flying Squirrels baseball tonight. You're listening to the home of the Flying Squirrels in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1.
Happy the mic. It's 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app Wednesday morning, coming at you from the studios here. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. He starts at noon. Grant and Danny will drive you home before, hopefully, we hand off to Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball. They got rained out last night. We'll take another run up the hill tonight. And the Washington Nationals will take another run up the hill tonight as well, attempting to beat the woeful Colorado Rockies, who have now claimed the first two in a four-game home series for the Nats. It is, in fact, time to panic. As you know, one of my things is this whole discussion about sports and TV ratings and, oh, this is a terrible NBA Finals, nobody's watching it, oh, you're down 25% in the NHL, it's bad, you know, you need name teams, you need New York in it, we always need New York and everything. And of course, you know my take, which is, if you enjoy it, that's enough. You should enjoy it. And that's good. It's not, we're not at the FIFA Club World Cup level yet here of like, ooh, this could be a disaster. That it's just Oklahoma City. It's just Indianapolis. There's a lot of cities not named New York City, and you can learn to enjoy those cities as well. Here's some perspective for you. The most watched sporting event on the planet took place last week. It's the Indian Premier League Cricket Championship game. And 169 million viewers watched the championship match of the Indian Premier League cricket match. That's basically everybody in America. The Super Bowl does not do Indian cricket numbers. They aspire to Indian cricket numbers. AWOD's rolling out. He's off to River City Roll. Off he goes. Were you part of the Martelli interview? I'm gonna put Griffin the intern on for a second there. You've now talked to First off, I'm putting you on the spot because you're on live radio here, but pretty good week in the internship.
Yeah, it's been great.
You've talked to Chris Mooney.
Yep.
And now Phil Martelli Jr.
Yeah.
VCU coach. Yeah. You are coach. What did we learn here? What was your takeaway here from Phil Martelli? I'm assuming you didn't know him at all.
No. Well, I knew a little bit about him from Bryant.
And you knew of him,
yeah.
But you've never met him.
No.
Now, you know Mooney. That's your guy.
Yeah.
You were biased to love that. Give me like a vibe check on meeting Phil Martelli Jr.
Yeah, honestly, unfortunately, I love the guy.
Well, that's a tough break for you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I usually go into it. I'm like, you know, VCU coach, I'm not going to like him, but he's just a down-to-earth guy. I think he's got that program. I was really worried for VCU that – you look at the havoc, right? You always look at what the coach needs to have, what their offense needs to have, what their defense needs to have. It's very specific. And he understands what that culture is and how to bring that to VCU. So VCU's in good hands, unfortunately. I was going to ask him if he could drop one game versus Richmond, specifically the one at the Robin Center. That would be nice. But I believe in the Spiders. I think we can get it done.
I am glad that they're still playing that home and home every year.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That's a series. But, you know, they don't play ODU anymore. That VCU ODU was such a good series, and they can't play that anymore. Because ODU is in the 200s in the net, and
you can't even
gain by winning those games.
There's no point in playing.
You can only not lose those games.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We asked him about the scheduling. We asked about he was like, listen, the only way we can get an at-large bid in March is playing those Power 5 teams.
They did such a good job of that last year. They got the game against Colorado State and not Las Vegas. They had the game down in Annapolis. Boston College was there. They went down to the Charleston tournament. The thing that always bums me out, those games are always early November, mid-November.
Yeah.
I want the March VCU team to go enter a Maui Invitational, to go enter...
That would be so sick.
Right, and I know other teams get good too, but it just feels like in Portal World, the team we watch in November and the team we watch in March... have been so different the last few years.
Yeah.
It's unfair to play the biggest games of your year before, like, you're still wearing name tags.
No, I don't know if you remember, Dayton went to Maui in 2020. That's, like, it was Obi Toppin, Jalen Crutcher, that team.
Yeah.
They went to Maui and they killed it. Yeah. Oh, my God, it was great. And then they went to Maui this past year, and then they...
Beat UConn.
Yeah, they beat UConn. They barely lost to Iowa State, barely lost to UNC.
Weren't they up 20 on UNC at one point?
That was ridiculous. We should have saw that.
I'm not knowledgeable enough to know when it's time to have an Anthony Grant conversation.
Yeah, well...
But I'd be very curious if the people in Dayton are asking themselves if it's time to have an Anthony Grant conversation.
I think they just love Anthony Grant.
He brings such talent in.
Yeah.
It's the Roy Williams problem to a degree. Every single year, that team was stacked. And so what are you going to do? You're going to fire the coach? He brings in the five best players in America every year. But you're also like...
When are we going to win?
Winning's good, too.
Yeah. Holding that A-10 trophy is nice. How has Richmond got more A-10 championships in the past 5 years? And you have Obi Toppin, a top lottery pick. Right? But to be fair, they would have won that year.
No, I'll do it in front of you. Chris Mooney is underappreciated by this city.
Oh, my God. You're telling me.
Full stop. The circumstances he has, that could very easily be LaSalle.
Yeah.
Like, that job could very easily be Fordham.
Yeah.
We're talking a thin, thin line between multiple A-10 titles in recent memory and that's the walkover game, and VCU stops wanting to play them twice. Yeah. Like, it's a thin line there and over at UR.
The best part about it is the way he does it, too. And it's all about his experience and yes. how people want. I mean, we were the sixth seed. We played. We almost lost to Rhode Island. We beat VCU, which was great. And then we beat Dayton, and then we beat Davidson as the sixth seed. And we had four-year guys, five-year guys in a transfer portal year. So that tells you people want to play for Chris Mooney. So that's why when all that billboard stuff came out and stuff, I just like, I don't understand. I'm like, you got good players. They're just all freshmen. They're all young. This team will bring a championship home. People call me crazy. Now we brought a championship home. Now we're back
and
in the
people
beginning.
Still call you crazy. Yeah, but I mean, also, they brought a championship
it's
home.
Fine. I have the trophy.
I always love when they do the net cutting ceremony, like the players do it.
Yeah.
And then like the second net. Like the managers and all that, they'll all run over and like get their little piece
that's
of this,
me.
The
that's
second
me.
Net. Yeah, that's always fun. Like everybody deserves a little bit of, it. Yeah,
I was thinking about going down there. I was like, it's in D.C. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be on this court and I'll cut down the net.
Exactly. You are a tournament victory more recently than VCU. I'd rather be VCU than you are.
I mean, me too. Unfortunately,
Chris Mooney underappreciated. I guess is the takeaway here. The other takeaway: AWOD Radio today interview with Phil Martelli Jr. Did we get a third segment out of it, or is it a two-segmenter?
It's two.
All right. He did three recently as well.
Yeah, I will say
he gets talking hoops.
Yes,
it's hard to slow him down.
Yeah. So honestly, I think you can break it up in two.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if I see a three. But.
Triple decker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great.
It's June 18th. We got to fill the time somehow. and I can't think of a better way to do it than Chris Mooney and Phil Martelli Jr. interviews in back-to-back days. Griffin, the intern, thank you for you for making an appearance here. We're rolling towards noon. AWOD is off to River City Roll. He'll be doing his show today because, programming note, we are not around the next couple days. He is going up to watch the Club World Cup. He's the one. We found the ticket holder. He's the one. Here's the thing. FIFA is just a fully unsympathetic character. Like, conceptually, you want this to work. It's soccer in America. The best players in the world are here. Conceptually, you want it to work because more tournaments involving good teams is better for everybody. They're just such an unsympathetic character. You are rooting for FIFA to fail at all times. It's a little bit like the Olympics. I love the Olympics. The luge, the figure skating, the things, the Olympics, the medals, the pageantry, the opening ceremony. But nobody involved with the Olympics is a sympathetic character, ever. You're rooting for them to fail. And we root for FIFA to fail because they're a big, giant, corrupt organization. Now, they won't next summer. They'll stage a World Cup. A lot of people will go watch it. It'll be a good time for everybody. Bring a lot of people to America. But right now, trying to start this new thing, it's all right to give them a little comeuppance along the way, a little something. It's, you know, had to leave a little word there on the way out. But I'll be excited to hear AWOD's report, and it's the best players in the world, and they're coming to America, and they're playing. So it's not a bad thing. It's just everybody takes a little delight when the big bad bully in the room gets knocked down a peg. It's no Indian Premier League cricket, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's for sure.
169 million viewers. It's no what was it? the first year of Commanders training camp. They always do the thing, the economic impact report. You know, it's like we came to this city and we generated $70 trillion of economic impact.
You're welcome.
We asked. So the Commanders did the study. You know, Skins at the time. They came to Richmond. There were a lot of people out there. Those people, you know, presumably came from not here, spent their money here, went to the McDonald's, did all the things. They did the study and it was like, you know, $1 billion of economic impact or whatever. And so we asked, like, can we see the numbers? And this briefly made the news because one of the things they did was they valued the economic impact of training camp being shown on TV to people as being like an ad for the city of Richmond. So they were like, SportsCenter showed a clip of RG3 throwing the football. Now, it wasn't like RG3 in Richmond. It was just a clip of RG3. Who happened to be in Richmond. Uh-huh. And they're like, buying that 30 seconds of time on ESPN would have cost you $1 million. You're welcome. Accounting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can slice and dice those numbers.
Sure.
So many different ways.
Money doesn't feel real when you tell me stories like that.
Money's not real.
Oh, that's... no.
I took some economics classes because I find it fascinating. And we'll get to the break and we'll get to crosstalk and we'll do all those things. But we started today with presidential curses, so this feels like a good place to finish.
I'm still reading the Wikipedia article, just so you know.
It's extensive.
It's extensive, and there's seven of them.
And we all just stopped talking about it as a society.
Yeah, he survived the assassination attempt, and we're like, okay, fix that.
It was, to me, the casualness. Beth, who works over at the Richmonder, who, you know, is old enough to have voted in that election. And I was like, Beth, I just had my mind blown. Did you know about this thing? She's like, yeah.
Of course.
Are y'all just gatekeeping us? Like... you're not going to tell me about it?
Yeah, why did you guys stop talking about it?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy corner if there ever was. We haven't done a good conspiracy corner in a while.
No, we have not, because the astronauts came home. Or did they?
I'm happy for them. They came home because we sent Katy Perry to space. There was like a space transaction
there
of some sort.
I definitely would have been more happy if they sent Katy Perry to the space station and then they swapped.
And she'd still be up there?
Yeah, she's up there.
Okay.
They can come down.
I like having Katy Perry on Earth. I think it's the right place for her. But
really?
I'm biased.
Okay, sure.
You were the one hosting Mix 98 this week, though.
Yeah, well, I heard her roar. And
I was going to say, that's a Mix 98 song, if there ever was one.
For sure.
The point I was making is, one of the principles of economics and politics is, people in their minds cannot tell the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion. Because all just seem like big numbers.
Yes.
But when you break it down, the difference between a million and a billion is huge. It's really, really different. So, like, if a president's like, we're going to spend $600 million on that, he might as well spend $62 billion on that. Nobody knows the difference. You can't tell the difference. People are just like, yeah, it's a lot of money. All right. Either we'll do it or we'll not do it.
Well, I'm going to say that's our fault for calling it a million and a billion. We need another word. They sound so similar. And a trillion? I mean, come on. We didn't try at all.
I didn't name them. I'd like to be exonerated from this. But
I'm not sure about that.
I also know I need to take a break because we got to pay the bills around here. And we got to wrap this show up. AWOD Radio at noon. Phil Martelli on his program. Stay tuned. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM.